As we begin a time of prayer, I'd like to point out the prayer quilts that we have with us today. You'll find five names listed under prayer quilts, and we have four of them here, and the other will be prayed over at our Whitmore Lake campus. And so the prayer quilts are part of a ministry called Prayers and Squares. It's a group that meets on Monday mornings, and they create these amazing quilts. After the worship service, you have an opportunity to tie a knot in the quilt, the strings that are sewn into them, and they will be out in the entrance to the sanctuary. So tie a knot in prayer, and you can sign a card as well. So we want to keep all of them in our prayers. This week, I've been juxtaposing the gift of life in the midst of the children that were here, and the singing and the dancing and the energy. We also hosted a preschool summer camp, and so there were a lot of children here through the week, and it was great. And I'm also thinking about the pain and loneliness that is in this life, especially as we witnessed a very public suicide. Our nation became part of one young man's struggle in the Northwest, and there's a lot of pain out here, and there's a lot of joy, and I'm reminded again and again that God is in the midst of all of that, shaping this world and working to bring hope. So let's go into a time of prayer. Lord, when we call you great, how can it come even close to who you truly are? We can't measure the depth of love that you have for us. We can't measure the breadth of your care. We can't measure the time that you will take for us, from loving us before we were knit together in our mother's womb till now, to all eternity. It is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. And yet on this morning, as we gather here, you listen to our individual voices lifted in prayer, and you listen to our collective heart. And you do this for the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who worship you on this Sabbath day. It is remarkable. And we are so thankful to be a part of this sacred time communicating with you. Open our hearts to scripture and to message, to song and to sacrament. Open our hearts that we might not only speak, but that we might be listeners, being filled with your spirit, being filled with your peace, and finding hope. We give you thanks for the life that you give in this world, for children that we know, neighbors and grandchildren and children and nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for the children of this congregation and of this community who have been served by Vacation Bible School and summer camp and music and drama camp, and for their parents who see an opportunity for Christian education as something valuable for their children. And Lord, we ask you to be in places where people struggle in loneliness and in despair, in what seems like a lifetime of failure and loss, in places where they don't see any way out and no one who can help. Lord, by your grace, make kindness available to them and compassion. Reveal resources for those that we know who struggle in despair of lingering health issues, addiction, and mental illness. And for those whom we cannot name but know that there is pain in their lives, Lord, send your servants into their midst, and if we're to be that servant, then equip us and give us the courage to speak and to act in a way that lifts another life. We pray, Lord, not only for those individuals, but others who find themselves in crisis around the world, for those who are displaced and those who are refugees from their own nations, for those who mourn the loss of loved ones to terrorist bombings and to war, for those who live in hunger and with lack of health care and potable water, Lord, Lord. Shape humanity to be what you want it to be as you called it good. And let your goodness move out into this world in powerful ways. Lord, we ask now that you might hear our individual concerns in this time of silent prayer. God of grace, God of glory, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to walk among us, to teach us about your kingdom and your reign, to teach us how to pray. And so be with us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 23 through 33. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, so that the words spoken and heard today are pleasing to you and glorify you. Amen. For me, faith has never been an instant arrival, and I'm guessing it's not that way for many, if not all of us. We had to play How Great Thou Art, which is always a waterworks show for me. But so I would say my journey to faith has been a long and winding, imperfect, yet growing road to a destination I do not fully understand, nor have I reached. So this morning, I will share with you what I learned so far on my journey, which is that a journey, a faith journey specifically, takes courage, questions, and invitation. For everyone, a faith journey begins with a foundation, a starting place. Whether Catholic, Protestant, no religion, cult religion, or what I call a secular understanding of religion or spirituality, We all have some belief system that started somewhere. We were taught, more importantly, and what we experienced formed our beliefs. Foundations are strong. They are developed in our formative years and hard to challenge. I can't tell you how many Catholic friends I have that attend other churches but will not change the Catholic faith because of what they were taught. Most of us are under the impression that we have to accept and embrace all of it or none of it. But in many cases, some of it feels right and some of it maybe not so much. In my case, I had a great foundation of what church was. I grew up in the United Methodist Church, so we had potlucks and Christmas pageants, and I felt loved. I had a great foundation, but the theology left me a little bit bewildered. It was still, if you believe you're in, and if you don't, you're out. It was still you're bad because Adam and Eve ate the apple. When I went to experience other Christian cultures that pretty much, you know, were supposed to believe the same thing, I still didn't feel in unless I claimed their version of beliefs. I can remember going to a Catholic church as a child with my cousins and not being allowed to take communion. I had a friend who was Baptist who told me that only the Baptists were going to go to heaven. And I could remember as a child, my grandma would read tea leaves and do astrology, and we would do yoga, and we always had a lot of fun. But my mom would tell me, be careful not to tell anybody, because we would be judged. I didn't understand. I was little. But the culmination was when I was taught to follow the Bible word for word, because it was the word of God. And then I would watch shows like Sally Jesse Raphael, or Maury Povich, or whatever it was. And the scripture was used as a weapon, not by one side, but both sides, to support their racial arguments. It didn't make sense to me. I remember wondering why the Christian religion had so many ways to exclude and divide people, to judge them. I brought my concerns to that same grandmother who read my tea leaves, who actually was a very devout Christian who prayed without ceasing. And she said, the God I worship is a loving, grace-filled God who loves all his children. Sometimes people are just unable to see God that way. I took comfort in that, but would soon realize that it would take courage to challenge the foundation, experience, and ingrained belief systems that I had, to own my own journey of understanding of mine and humanity's relationship with God. In today's scripture, the disciples are afraid because what they see challenges what they know. The scripture takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples have just witnessed Jesus perform this miracle, yet when something new comes, they're terrified again. So much so that they think he's a ghost. They freeze. Peter is the only one who has the courage to speak. He tries to connect. He says, if it's you, call me to you. Peter was terrified, but he reaches out in courage. This moment goes against what is ingrained in them, honestly. They're still trying to wrap their heads around what's going on. It can take a while to undo a lifetime of ingrained beliefs, yet their time with Jesus was very brief, and he kind of turned their worlds upside down. Throughout Scripture, we see over and over that Jesus' way of teaching is to encourage his disciples to re-examine what they think they know. But here we are, some 2,000 years later, and we seem to still historically let our fear lead us to packaged belief systems that you either buy into or else. My experience in this packaged system came to the forefront when I had children and was looking for a church. I decided to go with a much larger church, met up with a wonderful family, and joined a small group. I loved the small group. I felt close to them, enough to begin to share my doubts and my vulnerability. Unfortunately, it backfired. I shared my discomfort at having to hide some of my family's past like it was wrong, feeling like maybe I was living a lie. If I didn't think it was wrong, why couldn't I say it? And if I couldn't say it, was it wrong? I opened up my vulnerability, and her response was, yep, if you do those things, you're going to go to hell. And she brought me scriptures to prove it. Again, I was out, and I was sorry I didn't heed my mother's warning. But I decided to try again, figured maybe it was just her. Found a new small group and approached them to join. Their first response was, you're not far enough along on your journey to be in this group. I said I would try anyways. In the group, I started asking questions, exploring, and they responded with, don't you even read the Bible? And they began to tell me why I shouldn't be questioning. I was left feeling unworthy, gave a half-hearted prayer, something like, well, I am trying here, and this is what I get. And I left the church. I was going to entirely walk away from church when I was given a gift, literally a gift. The wife of a minister at the church that I grew up in did reflexology part-time, and I was given a gift certificate for the session with her. I shared my story and asked her how she found the courage to face people who judged her reflexology practice. And she said, my God is so big and so grand, I could never be so arrogant as to think I know what God wishes or demands beyond that he is a God of love, and we are to love him and love one another. I think that people can just be so afraid of something they will never and can never truly understand that they need to put them in a box with defined parameters so that they can be in control of their life. I suddenly realized that this faith thing was so much bigger than just believing one of the packaged belief systems that were out there. It's not just a simple connect the dots. It was around the same time that I visited my parents' church and heard a sermon that touched my heart. The pastor herself, somebody that we think has it all figured out, said, we are all here on a journey of understanding, some further than others, but none of us at the destination. We are all, including me, just trying to figure it out. Those two moments gave me courage to search for my own answers, to own my own journey. Similar to Peter, when Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water, it's up there, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? Peter, filled with courage, he steps out of the boat. He sees Jesus, but also notices the challenges around him. He becomes overwhelmed, afraid, possibly doubting that this was a good idea. Many of us have probably heard a sermon or two about the value of keeping our eyes on Jesus coming from this scripture. Perhaps we even heard it interpreted that Jesus has the power to save, which is confirmed by Mark's version of the story. I do not dispute either of those points, but the verse I want to look at is verse 31. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Often this is interpreted as Jesus rebuking or scolding Peter for doubting or losing faith. But what if, just what if, instead, he is really just prompting Peter to re-examine why he lost the faith or doubted? Up until I was inspired by the idea of everybody on a mutual journey, each helping one another, I was under the impression that if I doubted, I was not a true believer. I was actually afraid to let people know where I stood on my beliefs. I went along with what people said, trying not to make waves. Then I found a church and a pastor that truly opened my eyes to a new way to travel this road to understanding. The first sermon I heard in that church was on doubt. In it, he stated, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Certainty is the opposite of faith. If you are certain you know everything, then you have no reason to seek any further, no reason to grow closer to God, and no room for faith. Let me say that again. Doubt is not the opposite of faith. Certainty is the opposite of faith. If you are certain you know everything, then you have no reason to seek any further, no reason to grow closer to God, and no room for faith. All of a sudden, a feeling of relief came over me. I was not wrong or bad. I was normal. That same pastor held a disciple Bible study class, which continued to change my life. He encouraged questions, all questions, even the hard ones. Suddenly, I sounded like a four-year-old asking, well, why this? Why? Why that? He warned that questions often lead to more questions, and there would be many that he would not be able to answer. But he loved talking about them, examining what the Bible says about them, and looking at any and all possible answers. I loved it. Through this, I realized that even the disciples questioned Jesus, and they had firsthand experience with him. If you think about it, we get the description from somebody who translated the story from the guy who knew the guy who told the story about his experiences with the Lord incarnate through Jesus Christ. It's like getting one picture from your cousin about his friend's trip to the Grand Canyon, listening to the description, but never getting a real feel for the experience. It's easy to doubt that it is really as awesome as they say. But if you inquire deeper into all there is to know about the Grand Canyon, the majesty, the history, the temperature, the air, so on and so on, you get closer and closer. If you seek similar ways to experience it, you get even closer. We want to know what it's really like, right? For us, a faith journey is trying to know God and love God, right? It's in our mission statement. But what does it mean to know? So the definition of to know, to be aware of through observation, inquiry, or information. We have to inquire. We have to ask questions and gather information. But wait, there's a second part. Have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. Be familiar or friendly with. I really hadn't done that. In fact, I've been so busy asking questions and gathering information so that I could understand a relationship with God that I forgot I needed to have a relationship with God. I would like to say I came to that realization, but it didn't really happen that way. It happened by me hitting a wall at my job. I was very frustrated and couldn't do that job anymore, but I was scared to quit because it was all I knew. I'd been doing it 20 years and our financial security depended on it. I was raised very practical. You do not quit a job without having another job lined up. But like I said, I hit a wall. I sat in the Maltby parking lot and had a heart-to-heart with God. I still had so many doubts, if I'm being honest. I said, you know, God, everyone always says let go and let God. And I'm not sure if that's true or it's just some sort of goody-goody saying, but I need help. So here it is. I'm letting go, and I'm going to give it to you. And I quit my job that night with no plan. I didn't even tell Roy until after I did it. So glad he's kind and supportive. Thank you. So here I am, jobless, half believing that God will help me, and a new pastor comes along. He says, I see something in you, and I think you need to go do this Emmaus walk. I thought, oh no. I'm going to go be in this religious thing, and they're going to see right through me. How can I pretend for an entire 4 days? But I went, because, you know, what else was I going to do? I didn't have a job. So now what happens, much of what happens in Emmaus, I can't tell you, because you really have to experience it yourself. But I still will say that this is where Jesus answered my cry. I believe, help my unbelief. There's a time during Emmaus where you are asked to recommit yourself to the Lord. I honestly didn't know what to do. I had been raised in the United Methodist Church. I've been going through the motions. I had my rear end in the pew. But did I really believe? Am I really committed to God? Am I committed to following Christ? How could I be? Because, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not sure I buy in. I must have sat there for an hour crying, if you can believe that I was crying. I think I actually scared people. There was really this epic battle going on inside of me. Finally, I went to speak to one of the pastors. I was afraid to admit to someone what was going on inside, but she was very kind. She said, honey, you don't need to understand it all or even believe it all. You just need to invite him in and he'll show you. So I did. Just like Peter and Jesus climbing into the boat, the storm settling, I too experienced the calming presence of the Lord. I just knew he was going to help my journey, as the disciples realized in the scripture. The men in this scripture could not explain what just happened, just as we can never fully understand God logically. But when we invite God by way of Jesus Christ into our lives, we experience faith in a more personal and emotional way. When I left Emmaus, I was determined not to lose that feeling. I wanted to experience that feeling as much as I could. So I began to invite the Lord into my life often. I learned ways to encounter and experience God through placing myself in the best possible scenarios. It's kind of like knowing that someone goes to Two Brothers a lot. So if you want the best chance to meet up with that person, you go to Two Brothers. Same goes with God. Oh, if you really want to be successful, though, you have to invite them to meet you there. Same goes with God. I know I can find God when I'm in worship, when I'm in mission, service. I can find God in study, in prayer. I can find God in the eyes of other people, and I can find God on a sunshiny day. I go into those situations, though, not only looking for God, but inviting God to be there with me to reveal his grace in that moment. So here's the thing. Even though I strive to do this, my faith is still imperfect. I know this, but I am faithful. I am committed to walking towards an unknown destination because of what my faith journey has taught me thus far. And it has taught me to have courage. Courage to step into new situations, to explore new ways of understanding, and to be authentic in who I am. I challenge you to be courageous. What have you been afraid to do? What have you been afraid to change? What have you been afraid to step into? My faith journey has taught me that it's okay to doubt and question. Doubt can be an indicator that I need to study and examine more closely my beliefs, and that I need to spend time in my relationship with the Lord. It's like noticing that a flower needs fertilizer to stimulate growth where there is none. I encourage you to recognize where you have doubt. Ask questions that will help you grow in faith. Lastly, my journey has taught me the necessity of action and invitation. By that, I mean constantly placing myself in several places where I may encounter God and then inviting God to meet me there. Placing myself in one spot and expecting God to reveal himself there because I'm there at that moment is expecting a lot. So rather, I seek God in the places I know he frequents and invite him through Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be a part of my life in those moments. And I invite you to do the same and do it often. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for being steadfast and present as we travel our faith journeys. We are grateful for your patience as we seek to understand and experience just a bit of your majesty. We know we are often not deserving of your grace and forgiveness when we misstep, but are forever thankful that you offer it freely. We love you, Lord, and praise you for all you are and do. We invite you to continue to work in our lives, to be with us on our journeys closer to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ann. I'd like to...